Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey everybody, it's Stephanie Boyd, and this is the start of season 3 of my podcast, and I'm just kind of blown away by the thought of it. When I started this podcast, it was really about just talking with friends and recording their stories, and then it kind of snowballed into, wow, there are so many amazing women that I know that have awesome stories that might inspire or motivate other women to try new things, and specifically in the sport of running. And it's really just been an amazing experience the first 2 seasons. So I'm really excited to kick off season 3 and introduce you to some more amazing friends, acquaintances, and professionals in the running business. So I hope you enjoy the first episode of season 3. It's with my friend Kim Delara. And you guys are going to get to know her a little bit better. She's pretty humble and talks about she's just this human being that likes to stay active, but in reality, she's way more than that. She's an advocate for women in both the running and the triathlete world or triathlon world. And in this episode, we're just going to talk about her journey to find running and eventually triathlons and what she feels like is really important in terms of opening up the sport to a more diverse group of athletes. And she even provides some advice to those of you who might be considering a triathlon but have yet to get your feet wet. See what we did there. So Kim, of course, is always positive, encouraging, and hopefully you'll be inspired in some way by her story. So without further ado, let's meet Kim. Hey, everybody. It's Stephanie Boyd, the Bluegrass Bammer, back with another episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. And today I have Kim Delara with me. Hi, Kim. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, hi there, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to see you today.
I'm excited to see your face.
Yeah. For our listeners, they don't get to see us, but this is nice. We can do this in a virtual space and get to see each other while we're recording since we can't be in the same room together. So I haven't seen your face in a little bit. Makes me happy.
Makes me happy too.
So for everybody listening out there, I know Kim through the running community here in Louisville, and I invited her on the show today. I'm going to have her introduce herself here in a second. But if for those of you that don't know Kim, she's quite the ambassador for the, not just the running community, but for ambassador for women athletes of all types, triathletes. And so we're going to talk about some of that a little bit later in the show. But Kim, I wanted to have you on because I think you are very motivational. You provide a lot of support to women and all athletes in the Louisville area and beyond. So I want to talk about some of the relationships that you have and some of the fun work that you do. But why don't you, just for the listener's sake, tell us a little bit about yourself by telling us how you identify as a human being. What are some ways that you describe yourself to people you're meeting for the first time, maybe?
I identify as a human being. Well, okay, so Kim Delara, or Delara, depending on where you are, is how you pronounce it. I go by Delara, but Delara is how most people recognize.
I said it wrong
us.
Already.
No, most people do say it that way. And in Pittsburgh, where my husband's family is mostly from, it's Delara, but just about any place else you go, including Italy, it's Delara. So yeah, it just depends on where you are. And it sounds much fancier in Italy when other people say it. I am just not that fancy. So either way you say it is correct. And I work under the assumption that if you're looking at me, you must be talking to me. So I answer to just about anything. But I just identify as a normal, average human being that likes to stay active. That's it. It's funny. I think about people who go on podcasts have these have done these marvelous things and had these big accomplishments and have these really exciting lives. And, you know, maybe to other people, other people's lives seem very exciting. Mine seems pretty average and normal. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a normal human. That's it.
Well, I'd like to wish that we were all normal humans. As you know, we're not all normal, but, you know, I think you're a pretty special human being. So, and I kind of agree with that. It's sometimes hard for us to put certain labels on ourselves. If we put labels on ourselves at all, there was just a discussion going on in a running group, you know, do you identify as a runner? Do you call yourself a runner? And some people were like, yes, I run, therefore I'm a runner. And then some people were like, I don't like to put labels on myself. I don't consider myself any of these, you know, runner or whatever. So depending on the person and the conversation, the answer always varies about how you identify. So I like your answer.
I saw that post. Thank you. Yeah, I saw that post on Facebook today about how did you know or when did you know that you were a runner? And I agreed with so many of the comments that said, well, I run, therefore I am a runner. And I thought about weighing in. And what my automatic response was, well, I run, therefore I'm a runner. But I always finish that sentence by saying, but I'm really slow, or I'm not a good runner. And I didn't write it. I didn't write that comment in the post because I thought, if someone else said that to me, mm-hmm. About themselves, what would my answer be? And my answer would be, well, you run, therefore you are a runner. End of story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why we tend to do that to ourselves.
I don't know why we put those qualifiers. That the pace qualifier is a big one, I think, for a lot of people. They get hung up on that. Sometimes distance, but pace definitely. So maybe we'll explore that more as we talk. But mm-hmm. So you do identify as a runner, which is a safe bet in my book. Tell us a little bit about how you got into running. Do you have memories? Like, what are your earliest memories of running? How young were you? Or at how mature were you when you started running? Do you remember?
I do. I grew up in gymnastics, primarily dance and swimming. So running distance was never a thing. We sprinted and then we stopped, if anything, and that was about it. Both my mom and dad were very active and they ran when I was younger. I remember my mom getting up. So she was a teacher and she would get up so early in the morning and she would run every single morning. And I remember thinking, okay, I want to do that. I want to be like her. And I got up maybe one or two mornings that I can remember, maybe it was more, and I put it out of my mind. And it was just so painful. I know you're a nighttime runner. I am too. Mm-hmm. I still dislike morning running, but it's just something she did. And I wanted to be like her. And I tried it and I didn't like it. And so end of running. Mm-hmm. My dad was a nighttime runner, but he ran very late when he got home from work. Mm-hmm. So my running career started and stopped very quickly, like within about a week. 2014 was the first time I really started training for running. And I remember thinking, I've always wanted to do a marathon, or I've always wanted to do a half marathon. I think I'm going to do this, but ooh, that sounds really scary. And I bounced it off of a couple of people. And I remember them looking at me, not saying, oh, you can't do that, but saying, okay, like this might not be a good idea for you. And I didn't know why they were saying that, but then it was game on. So as soon as they expressed doubt that it was something that I shouldn't do or couldn't do, as soon as that challenge was out there, it was on. So I started training in 2014. I ran my first half marathon in 2014 at the Indianapolis, oh my gosh, I can't talk. The one that happens right before the Indy 500. That was my first half marathon.
Yeah.
And I was hooked and I signed up for two more that year and haven't looked back.
You haven't looked back. How many half marathons have you run now? How many full marathons have you run?
And no full marathons.
Okay.
I were to do one, I would really want to do the Marine Corps. I think that seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'd say since 2014, I've done at least two a year. So yeah. I don't math very well, whatever that adds up to.
Yeah, I kind of feel sad that I haven't kept track. I guess unofficially I've kept track. Like I do have my bibs and medals. I mean, some races we've run, there is no medal, or, you know, it's like maybe a 5K or charity race, you don't have a bib or something like that. But I started running before, I don't know about you, but like when I started running, I wasn't tracking myself like on Strava or like an electronic way to a data repository way. It was just very, I'm just going to go out and run this. And if they had a time bib, then I had a time, but I didn't really, you know, record any of that for a long time. So I've lost some data, I'm sure. But
well, if I'm being honest, the first time I ever ran, we didn't have Strava. We didn't have the internet. So
Yeah. I didn't have a smartwatch. I had a stopwatch, I think, like a Casio stopwatch, maybe, but nothing that really recorded splits or any of that fancy stuff. So thinking about just do you remember how you felt when you crossed the finish line of that first half marathon? Were you like, yeah, doubter, suck it? Or like, what was it?
I was so relieved. I ended up with a weird back thing about, I don't know, 10 miles in. And so my back wasn't super comfortable, but because it was in Indianapolis, or I got it right that time, my husband was there cheering me on, as he has for every single one of my races. But my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law joined us, and the three of us ran together. Of course, being the first half marathon and being injured prior to that, during training, I was the last one to come in. So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law finished probably a good 45 minutes to an hour before I did. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law is quite tall, so you can spot him in a crowd. So not only could I see my husband in the crowd as I watched the finish line, but I could see my brother-in-law jumping up and down like a crazy person. And he's just going nuts, and he's kind of goofy anyways. And so it was kind of funny. I was relieved. I couldn't believe that I did it. I had set out to do something and I did it. And then I've got my husband there, and then my brother-in-law jumping up and down like a 4-year-old child. It was a lot of fun.
Well, that's a memorable race ending for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they all remember it too. When you've been there, when people have crossed the finish line for the first time, it's pretty cool, mm-hmm. even if it's not you. So
yes,
I can totally visualize him jumping up and down for you.
Yes. I don't get emotional at finish lines. Mm-hmm. But I get, for myself, at least, I get emotional mm-hmm. for other people.
Yeah.
But not me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could totally see that. I think I get more excited for other people than myself sometimes. So I totally get that. Mm-hmm. So you started in 2014. And since then, tell us a little bit about just, you know, obviously you started doing road races, but you've dabbled now, you've gone beyond that. So tell us a little bit about how that evolved, and when did you decide to get into tries? Because that's something that you really love. I can tell just the way that you talk about it. And so what was the decision to make that leap? Because I know for some people, that's not an easy transition or a thought process.
That's pretty multifaceted, but it comes down to my brother and, again, some doubters. So I, growing up in Florida, you could swim before you could walk. And that tends to be the hardest discipline for people who are getting into triathlons. And for me, it was no big deal. I relish the thought of getting in the river, getting in the ocean and swimming. It's just fun to me. So that was never an inhibitor. And I could ride a bike and I couldn't run very fast, but I could run. So I figured, well, why not? But the biggest driver was my brother. He had done one or two full Ironman races by that time, a couple of half Ironman races. And I got a chance to see him in person finish Ironman Mont Tremblant. And it was just the most incredible race experience. And I think this is in 2012. No. Well, anyways, 2012 or something like that. Most incredible race experience. And just the fact that people could do this for 140.6 miles just blew my mind. And there used to be a half Ironman in Raleigh, North Carolina, where they live. And I thought, how cool would it be if I did a half Ironman with my brother? And again, I put it out there in the universe and I got the same response as when I wanted to do my first half marathon. And it was not a, no way, you can't do this. It was a, all right, are you sure? That's a good idea. And again, it was game on. I thought, okay, well, not only am I doubting myself, now I've got external doubters. So yes, yes, I absolutely will make this happen. And I did. Technically, I got a DNF, which is did not finish because I finished 6 minutes and 24 seconds after the cutoff. I had a back thing again. My back just locked up. I don't know what happened. I have an idea of what happened, but I still crossed the finish line under my own power. And I have absolutely no, regrets about how I trained, how I finished. That is one of my proudest moments. I was in so much pain and I finished. I was going to finish whether I had to crawl across that finish line. And I did. And I have rarely been so proud of myself. And so from then on, I just was, and that wasn't my first triathlon. I did a few leading up to it, but I was just hooked to that finish line feeling and accomplishing something that I set out to do and that I and others doubted I could do. And I think that's been a big driver for me. I've never podiumed. I've never tried to podium. I train enough so I can be proud of myself and to finish. And in the end, I'm really just in it for the hugs. I just love the camaraderie of the racing community, be it tries or running. And so I just continue. It's been shorter races since then, but I just love the community in general. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah. And then obviously your husband is very supportive. I mean, I've always seen him at races. You know, they're waiting for you at the finish or, you know, on the course or whatnot. And he's just so always so proud of you. And even talking with him afterwards, he's just very proud of you and all the things that you do. And I love that about him because he's very positive and fun. And it's like, he just adds to the atmosphere wherever we're at. Mm-hmm. So, I remember when we were all at the Indy Women's Half, when a bunch of us went up there, I think he was having the best time out of everybody. Like, and he wasn't even racing that day. I was like, come on. This guy, he's got it all. He's got like, he's the cheerleader, he's the motivator, he's the after party guy. So I think that's great. I know that there are women that struggle. They don't always have those people, you know, to support them. So I think that's awesome that you have those people. They're important.
Yeah, I get amazing emotional support from my family, but my husband, he is next level. He has always been my biggest cheerleader and my biggest supporter. And some of the conditions he sat out in while I'm out there doing my thing and carrying my junk and holding my phone and taking pictures endlessly. He's so patient.
Sherpa. I didn't even give him those labels.
I cannot say enough. I owe him so much. He doesn't ask for it, but he just knows that it's, when I say he doesn't ask for it, he doesn't ask for the accolades, but right. He does it because he knows it's important to me and because that's what people who love each other do for each other. And I really could not do it without him. Without his support and his love, it means so much to me.
Yeah. Has he ever asked, like, are you going to ever not do this? Or like, are you tired? Or does he ever worry about you? Or Does he just always just come on, Kim? I'm just with you, whatever you do. Seems so positive. The latter.
No, he has never asked me to take a break. He's never thought that I may be overdoing it. But he also knows that effort would be futile, because when I get something in my mind, I'm going to do it. It's just, that is not a question. And he himself is very active. So he's done a duathlon. He's done a lot of half marathons. We both strength train. We run, we bike together. We don't run together, but we bike together. So he himself is very active. So he knows firsthand how important staying active, doing something that makes you feel accomplished and good, is important.
I'm sure that's very helpful for you, because I think every athlete at some point in their training, not every training cycle, but every now and then, you get to that like week 10 or week 14 or week 20, whatever, week 30, whatever week you're in of your training cycle, depending on what you're training for. And you're like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Or I'm very tired. Can I finish this? You may have some self-doubt, or just be mentally, you know, at a place where you're drowning a little bit in your own sorrows and wondering why you're doing this thing. And you have that person that does understand you really well and can help you rise out of that part, because I know my husband's done that for me, and I'm sure your husband's done that for you, where you're kind of like, what am I doing? Well, this is miserable. And they remind you of who you really are. And you know, that this is a temporary thing, the temporary place where you're at. So it's great that he can understand the importance of all of it to you through his own activity and knowing who you are as a person.
Yeah, he's definitely watched me dissolve into puddles of tears. And he has also been the one occasionally that says, it's time to put on your big girl pants. You signed up for this. Not only did you sign up for it, but you paid for the privilege. So now it's time to be an adult and do adult things. But it's interesting too, because the longest race I've ever trained for was the Raleigh Half Ironman, and this was in 2016. And he was just always so patient, because every Friday, Saturday night, if we'd get an invitation to go out with people or do something special, it was always, I can't. I have this long swim, this long run, this long bike to do tomorrow, and I need to get up at dark 30 to do it. And he was right along with me. He would say, nope, can't. Kim's got to get up in the morning. So we'll both go home together, which is admirable, because you hear about so many people, maybe not necessarily with the half Ironman distance, but with the full Ironman distance, that training block actually leads to a lot of divorces. I mean, there is something people jokingly, half jokingly, call Ironman widows, because, or widowers, and because there's so many marriages that split up or become strained because people are never together, and the burden of maintaining the household, whatever that household means to you, falls exponentially on the person who isn't riding their bike for 8 hours that day.
Right. that is also a thing in the ultra running community. Although there's the joke there that it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Was I running to get away from the relationship in the first place, or did the running, you know, rip the relationship apart? But there seems to be a lot of that happens in the ultra running. You're just, you know, you're out all the time. That's when you're training. That's, you know, you're out there for a long time. And like you said, whoever's at home is picking up a lot of the slack. So it is difficult, but I'm glad you have that support. That's great. So besides your family, I know that you're really involved with, you know, the running community and the triathlete community. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved, because I know that you like to run by yourself a lot. You, like you, I think you deemed yourself a solo runner several times. And we, I know She Runs This Town is like trying to bring you to the dark side and do some group running every now and then, but you know, how do you manage that? Because you seem to be very active and know what's going on in these communities without having to be involved in all the things in the communities. But tell us a little bit about kind of your relationship with some of these groups and what you love about them.
I love so many things. So it wasn't until I was actually on the road driving to Raleigh to participate in the Half Ironman that I even knew that there was such a thing as a triathlon club. Mm. And so when I learned about this, of course, I reached out. I was a Louisville Land Sharks and I said, hey, I'm doing this race. Didn't know you guys existed until just now, but I'll definitely hook up when you get back or when I get back. And yeah, so I got in with that club and really enjoyed the camaraderie and the social aspect, of course, because I'm in it for the hugs. And it was a very, very supportive group. So I did more with them as I could. Now at the time, let me back up. At the time I was working at a job where I was traveling 75 to 100% of the time. And so I could rarely join up, but I did when I could. But everybody was so much faster than me. So I would join up for some of the group swims over at Deem Lake, but biking and swimming, I was always kind of lagging behind. So I joined the socials to kind of gain information about triathlon, how I could be better. I joined the swims because that's where I could hang, but the bikes and the runs I would, you know, just kind of do on my own because I don't need to wake up at 7 in the morning to be left in the dust.
Yeah.
Or sorry, 4 in the morning to be left in the dust. But again, it was a very supportive group. So I hung in there. Now She Runs This Town. I learned about, who was it through? Tracy Shirley, actually. Mm-hmm. So she told me about it and I looked into it and it was when I happened to be home. I wasn't traveling. And so I met up with everybody at Seneca and we went for a run walk and enjoyed the people, but I just never got a chance to really get to know people because I was traveling all the time. Mm-hmm. Literally all the time. And so finally, when I left that job and I went back to school and I had more time to be social, I tried to join up with more things. But again, I get imposter syndrome, just like so many people do, mm-hmm. you know, where I call myself a runner, but I'm not very fast. And I get self-conscious about holding people back. But, you know, then again, I'm also the person who has to make the 2 bathroom stops in the group runs. And I don't like to hold people back from that either. So I think it's more of a self-conscious thing that keeps me from joining more groups. But man, I have met some of the most remarkable people, many of who you have already interviewed for your podcast. Mm-hmm. They've been so kind to me and so supportive, even though I feel like they barely know me. It's just a sisterhood, no matter when you need it. And it's a soft place to land.
Yeah.
But it also reminds you that there's good humans out there and we are all part of this community and we're all trying to do our best. And so when I'm not feeling self-conscious, I get out there and I join people. Mm-hmm. When I want to sleep in a little bit, I go for my solo runs, but I am slowly coming over to the dark side. Those two groups, but SRTT especially just has been so gratifying and fulfilling and just a very, very positive part of my life that will mean friendships that last a lifetime for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hear other people say that too. Now, I don't want to diminish that. I don't want to say just because you're not going to every group run that you're not active in the group because you're very active. Everyone knows, I feel like a lot of people, I won't say everyone because we have a lot of people in the group, but the majority, a lot of people know who you are and are really, I mean, some people I think are a little, what's the word? Because I don't want to put you in a comfortable position, but triathlons are very intimidating. So to see you accomplishing what you are, and you're very confident in how you come across with the sport and everything, that it's intimidating. So some people may be scared to run with you because, you know, it's that whole thing, but you just jump right in there. You answer questions in the group that we have. And you've also offered just on your own, with no like push from us or leadership or anything, to just help people learn more about the sport and to make it a little less intimidating, because that's the whole reason we started doing the turkey sandwich duathlon several years ago, because people were having trouble making that leap on their own to do a multidisciplinary type of event. And we were like, well, a bike, I mean, most people in Kentucky, they grew up here, they did have access to a bike. Swimming's a whole different thing, but let's just let them ease into it. And so we did that, the ride run bike event, and people got off their bikes and they were like, holy crap, I can't believe I just did that. And it's not a small distance that they're doing. For some of these people, they'd never bike that far. I can't believe I did that. And every now and then you'll hear one of them say, I want to sign up for a duathlon, or I think I want to try a triathlon. But until they saw other people like that, they felt like looked like them and were the same, had the same athletic ability, they didn't put themselves in that place. So I think they see you and want to try to put themselves in that place. And I have to say kudos to you, because there aren't many triathletes I look at and think I can put myself in their place. You know, you just make it very welcoming. You don't make it seem like it's something everyone can't try to do. You know, and I think you just make it really comfortable for people to ask questions and learn. And even if they don't come out to a clinic, or you just did like this nice little clinic for some of our members, that, you know, it's overwhelming. You have questions about bike, you have questions about swim, you don't know where to start. What gear do you need? So I don't know where that comes from inside of you, but I'm really grateful for it, because even though I've only trained for 3 triathlons and they were Olympic and less distances, I don't feel equipped enough to help people. Like if I have to start training for another one again, I'm going to come to you, because it's been 2018 since I've done that. So everything seems like it's changed and I need new gear. And so I just want to say thank you, because I think women in triathlete world need that a lot. Mm-hmm. It's intimidating.
Well, I mean, let's be clear, with regard to triathlon and running, I am a back of the packer. I am bringing up the rear. I am captain of Team Butter. So BUTR, bringing up the rear. I really am just in it for the camaraderie and because I'm addicted to the challenge. But mm-hmm. I remember doing my very first triathlon and showing up, and, you know, my husband's like, I'm carrying a cosmetic bag with my gear, and everybody has these, you know, this fancy gear. And I felt so out of place. And I remember looking over at my husband going, where are the normal people? I mean, every person that was there looked like you would expect a triathlete to look. And then here I am. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm middle-aged, and I mean, I'm almost 50, and I'm, you know, I've got a little extra fluff, and, you know, still built like the gymnast that I was many mm-hmm. years ago. And if you were to line up a bunch of people in a line and say, all right, pick out the triathlete, nobody would ever look at me and go, her. And so I remember feeling so out of place at this first triathlon that it makes me want to put other people at ease if that's something that they wish to do. I have a friend named Camille Baptiste, and she has her own triathlon race company called Swim, Bike, Run, Fun Events. And she just appeared on another friend's podcast called Running is Cheaper Than Therapy. And you should hear her talk about how she got into triathlon, why she got into triathlon, and why she has this race company, and it really is all about inclusion and about acceptance. If you want to try a duathlon, an aqua bike, a triathlon, there is a place for you here. And I just feel like that is such an important step to making so many more people feel welcome. And that's why I try to do as much outreach as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that, so is, I'm going to jump forward here a little bit and ask you, I know there's an event going on. It's this weekend, right?
Where it would be tomorrow. Yes.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay. So this is perfect timing. I'm sure you have lots of free time. So I'm glad. Glad you came on the podcast the day before. So tell us a little bit about, because I've seen it and I meant to message you and ask, and I've shared the event, but it's at Shawnee Park Building 3 near the basketball courts. By the time people hear this, they won't, the event will be over, but how did this come? Because there's lots of people that are sponsoring or supporting the event. So tell us how this all came about and how you're, you know, involved with it.
So I was selected as a CORE ambassador. So the company is called CORE, C-O-E-U-R, and it's just about all that I wear. They make run gear, they make swim gear, they make triathlon gear, cycling gear. And for me, it's the most comfortable. I do not have thigh gap. And so every pair of tights and run shorts and tri shorts that I've worn is really comfortable for me. So I was thrilled to be chosen as an ambassador, and I knew this going in. It's one of the reasons why I pushed so hard to be selected this year. But as an ambassador, you are required to do an event. Now, that event could be just about anything. You could have a bunch of girlfriends over to your house and talk about triathlon. You could do a bike fit clinic. You could do a tire changing clinic. You could do a nutrition clinic, whatever. So we have to do an event. But it has been on my mind for years now, and I finally decided this was a perfect opportunity to make this happen, that I want to improve accessibility and inclusion in triathlon. Because it is no mistake that any triathlon you go to is going to be predominantly white male, which in my opinion is not okay. There should be more female representation. There should be more melanin represented at races. And being a part of an online triathlon community for women, it became very clear to me through these discussions with these women that it really isn't a financial hurdle that people butt up against in entry into triathlon, it's information. So in this tri club that I'm a part of, I'm called Fast Chicks, which again, such a fulfilling, meaningful part of my life. These women are just so incredible. I would say, I don't have the official statistics, but 90% of the women in this group, and it's over 1,000 at this point, are women of color, people of color. And through these relationships that I've formed through this group, it has been made very clear to me that it's not financial hurdles that people need to cross to get in triathlon. It is awareness, information, and accessibility. And those are things that I can help provide. And so here's this perfect segue from becoming a CORE ambassador to being able to take their support to provide this clinic out in the community that I want to speak to hopefully make provide the awareness of triathlon and then provide the accessibility through memberships to two different tri clubs here as prizes. The YMCA has donated a free month of membership. So people need to come in and use the pool, they can. The community just really got fully on board. There was no resistance to this. Mm-hmm. It's just people have not maybe known how to make it happen or had the time to make it happen. I know how to make things happen. I don't necessarily have the time, but I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
So this clinic's happening, and just a lot of really awesome support. Landsharks and Triloka are both donating memberships and gear. The Headies had First Performance, as well as Team Magic, who put on Tri Louisville, are donating race entries. So Shelbyville Tri Series starts next week, and Cynthia and Todd Heady are donating race entries for each of the races. We've got, yeah, gear from Grit Cycling. We've got a free month of coaching from Coach Angie Brown, which, gosh, that is so valuable. Mm-hmm. That's $150, $200 value right there. Fast Chicks are donating swim cap and towel. I mean, there's so much going on. And then CORE has five different $20 gift cards that they're donating.
That's awesome. I mean, so people can come and just learn more, just ask questions and find out a little bit more, or maybe they do know some things and just want to get connected to all of these great people that are supporting the event, and maybe they want to win a prize, or, you know, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's geared towards the community of West Louisville. Everybody is invited, no matter where you live, you can come and learn more about triathlon. But the emphasis is going to be on resources. So we're going to talk about transition setup. We're going to talk about gear you might need, general rules, things to do, things not to do at triathlon. But the emphasis is going to be on, all right, if you are truly interested in triathlon, we're going to talk about it now, but here are the resources that you can access to continue to learn more as your journey progresses. That's all about.
That's great. I've learned, you know, running, everyone says it's such an easy sport. You just need a pair of shoes and you go out and you run. Triathlons are a little bit more in detail, but I feel like there's so many rules, both written and unwritten, in the world of triathlons that I'm still learning all the time. And until you're like thrown in there, like you said, like you show up with your little bag and everybody's got buckets, and don't put your bike and your towel a certain way. And no one, you know, unless you know someone who's really going to walk you through all that and answer your questions, you feel like a big ding dong when you show up to some of these things, which totally messes mentally with your performance and maybe your prep, you know, all of that. You're already nervous anyway. So anything that can make you feel more supported, more safe in that space, I think is really important. So it sounds like, especially for the audience that you really want to work into this event, I think that's a big thing. Just psychological safety and support and understanding are huge barriers to kind of, you know, cross over for some people who want to get into this sport but haven't historically. So I think it's awesome that you're doing that. And I want you to let me know how it goes. And do you think this is something that will continue? I know that this was part of something you had to do as an ambassadorship, but do you see it being something that the community embraces and maybe these other groups want to support after this one?
I would like to continue it. I'd like to do this at least once a year. I am unsure. I mean, so businesses and groups are coming together to support it. Whether or not there's interest out there, I am not sure. We'll find out tomorrow. It could be me and people who have volunteered to help looking at each other and then deciding to go get coffee. Or there could be a really big turnout. I'm not really sure. The Louisville Sports Commission has supported it. There was supposed to be some additional support from other community organizations that haven't materialized, or at least I haven't seen it materialize. So it could be me talking to the wind in the trees, or it could be there could be a bunch of people or anywhere in between. I'm not really sure how it'll work, but if it turns out to be something that people are interested in, then yes, I hope to do this every single year.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, keep us posted. Let us know how it goes. And maybe we'll do a follow-up podcast if you're going to do another one and have some people come in with you and just talk about the event and all of that, because I know there are women listening to this podcast that are not, don't feel ready to do this on their own, but if they knew they had this type of support, they would be more willing to step out there, because we see it in the running group all the time. This is how people jump from, you know, 5Ks to half marathons, or this is how people jump, you know, it's just that extra support and boost of confidence that really lets them know they can do it if that's what they really want to do. So kudos to you for putting all this together. Like, you just could have had some girlfriends come over and to your house and done a little something, but no, not Kim. She's
go big or go home.
Go big or go home. So I wanted to ask you two questions, and they may not be simple answers, but as we wrap up, I want to think about two things. If women come to you in particular and ask, you know, how do I know that I'm ready to train for a triathlon, and where do I start? What kind of advice do you give them? That's the first question. And then the second question is, I want you to tell us a little what you think BAMRs are. We're going to talk about that secondary to the first question, which is, what advice do you give people who want to tries? How do you talk them into it, or at least get their wheels turning?
My first response is, hell yes, do it. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes. My first response is, hell yes, do it. I am not in the business of telling somebody that they cannot do something that they put their mind to. I think it is important for people to understand their why, because that is what drives people to the start line. And whether that may not get them to the finish line, there's a lot of variables that can affect getting to the finish line, but it doesn't matter. Once you've gotten to the start line, you've already won. The race is just your victory lap. So know what your why is, because that will continue to drive you. The other advice that I give to people is, understand what scares you the most and do that. Mm-hmm. Because chances are the only hurdle that's standing in your way is you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for so many of us. So I think that's pretty solid advice.
I think that's solid advice for anything you want to do in life. So definitely applause to trying a different sport or a different discipline, for sure. Mm-hmm. Swimming was a huge fear for me.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see that. It's like, just put your big girl panties on and you've done way worse than swim. Like, you've conquered a lot of other things. So you can do this. But yeah, I think that's great advice.
A little humility, or a lot of humility, being humble, is a big piece of that too, because no matter what you are adventuring into, there's going to be lessons to be learned that will help you. And you just have to be willing to realize them when they're placed in front of you. You'll also at some point need help. You're going to feel foolish. You're going to do silly things. You're going to make mistakes. But you will need help from somebody else with something, whether it's information or training, or maybe you need to borrow a tube from somebody or a CO2 cartridge. Be humble and learn from your experiences. There is a triathlete who is part of Fast Chicks. She is a Muslim woman, and her name is Khadija Diggs, and she is one of the most humble, kind people I have ever met. And she is the epitome of humility. And that's how she approaches racing. And I really think that in addition to the hard work that she constantly puts in, her humility and her kindness to humanity are two of the main reasons why she is so successful in triathlon.
Yeah, that's intriguing. I would say that triathlon is a very humbling sport. You can get knocked down more than once. either in your training or racing. So yeah, she has an edge there that mm-hmm. some of us don't. So, and oh, are you training for anything right now?
This race season has just gone from
snuck up on you.
Yes. So we just did the hot chocolate 15K in Nashville. We've got another one, hot chocolate 15K in April, but then we've got Derby. So
yeah,
Derby half marathons coming up. And then I'm doing the Indy race that you talked me into in June. Yes,
I'll be there.
That looks like a cool medal. You know, I'll do just about anything from medal and a t-shirt.
It's a huge medal. It's like, it is so heavy. It's so big. It's so beautiful.
It's a dragonfly. Who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. So I've got that. Try Louisville in July. Oh, the big one this year is Rev 3. So Rev 3, Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm actually doing that 2 days before my 50th birthday.
Yay.
And I'll be there. It's a big Fast Chicks meetup. Last year, there was 102 Fast Chicks doing the Williamsburg race. This year, we're hoping for over 200. So it's going to be a big party.
It's called Rev 3, R-E-V-3?
Yep, Rev 3, Williamsburg. Incredible race directors, just amazing race. I'm doing the Olympic distance this year, but they offer aqua bike, they offer duathlon, relay sprints, and half iron distance. But then really the biggest lead up for me, I mean, so we've got all these races going on, Urban Bourbon, of course, which is my favorite half marathon ever. But what I'm trying to do, and so far I'm on track, is put 500 miles on my feet and 500 miles on the bike before I turn 50.
Okay.
So.
I feel like you got that one in the bucket. Like, I feel like you're going to make it.
I'm going to do everything in my power to make that happen.
Based on what you just told me.
Yeah. We'll just assume that that's going to happen.
Okay. 500, 500 for 50. That's what I'm calling. This is your year. The 500, 500 for 50.
There you go.
It's the Kim special.
Thank you.
She's going to do it.
I'm going to do it. Okay. Stephanie says so.
That's right. I'm going to will it, put it out there in the universe. That's going to happen now. We'll just manifest it together on this podcast. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So don't worry any longer. Okay. Last thing I want to ask you is, of course, I always ask every guest this when we wrap up, but obviously BAMR stands for Badass Mother Runner. So I want you to tell me, when you hear that term, whether you call someone a BAMR or if they call you a BAMR, what does that mean to you? I mean, we know what it stands for, but what does it really embody to you?
Women who do hard things.
Okay. Can I just tell everyone, because they can't see you, your hat that you have on. It totally is like, that's totally a BAMR hat. So your hat says do epic shit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Women that do hard things.
Yes. I just, anybody who is willing to put themselves out there and try something difficult, to me, is a BAMR. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if they're a mother or not. I just respect so much people who get out there and hustle. I have another friend, another fast chick. Her name is Crystal Pringle. And I tease her all the time, as she knows lovingly. Every day she is up 3:34. I mean, she's up before anybody is up. She is running, she's biking, she's swimming. And so now it's become a joke, because if we get up early, if we do something particular remarkable, we say, you know, we're trying to be like Crystal, we're trying to be like Crystal Pringle. And so now we'll say, all right, so this morning I got up and I lifted weights and I ran X number of miles, but Crystal has done all of that and she baked bread from scratch and built a she shed and delivered free meals to this community. I mean, she does everything. It's always before anybody else gets up and before the sun rises. That to me is a BAMer. Mm-hmm. It's just somebody who gets up and hustles and does hard things. Yeah. Anybody who just puts themselves out there like that and just puts in the effort, so no matter if it's, you know, something like Crystal, who does this on a consistent basis, or maybe they take their first steps and they never thought that they could run and they went out and they did their very first mile ever. That's a BAMer to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. They just tried.
They try. And, you know, I think it's all about just like that intention and, you know, setting the goal and hitting the mark. We see it over and over again in the groups that we're in. And it just amazes me every time somebody does it, whether it's for the first time or like the 100th time. And it's pace or distance, not with, you know, none of that matters. It's really just, sometimes I think you and I both, like, maybe we just surround ourselves with women like this all the time. And we think this is how everybody is. And then we'll go out and we're talking to people who maybe aren't in these groups or aren't as active as we are. And they're like, how do you all do all of that? And then it really reframes for me. Okay, this isn't actually normal. We're a pretty small percentage of the population that actually does this stuff. So then it makes me really proud to be a part of this whole community of women that are doing exactly what you're talking about. So you're definitely a BAMer. You've just defined your own activity. So
thank you. Well, you know, you've interviewed so many people, with you being the chapter leader and being connected with so many of these women, you've heard these stories, and there are so many women who have just suffered unspeakable tragedy and hardship, and but they still got up and they took their kids to school, or they got up and they walked a mile no matter how bad their day was. So they just continue to plug on, or just as important, they advocate for themselves, for what they need. And that to me, no matter what that shows up as, that is a BAMer to me.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. It's just amazing to sit back and watch sometimes. And I think mm-hmm. how grateful I am to know so many people like that, because they inspire and motivate me, just like you coming on the show. I mean, just telling your story, it's really going to, I think, encourage a lot of women and motivate them to kind of think to take that next step. Maybe they've been thinking about it, you know, because obviously you want them to do it. You're very supportive and you've done it. And if you can do it and I can do it, so can these women. So I'm really, really grateful that you came on the podcast today. And
anybody wants to try running for the first time, or they want to try triathlon for the first time, come join me in the back of the pack. That's where the party is anyway.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'll come join you. You're a lot of fun. So I'll never pass up that invitation to hang out with you, run with you.
Perfect. And lots of bathroom stops, you know.
Okay, sure. That's why we plan all these events where there are bathrooms, because we all have to stop. So we'll stop with you.
Perfect.
Okay, Kim. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate you so much, and have a great weekend.
You too. I really appreciate you having me on and letting me hopefully motivate and inspire some other folks. We'll hope to see them out there.
No doubt.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass BAMer podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog. That is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me at bluegrassbammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.